You are listening to the Fit Mom Podcast, hosted by myself, Ash Iovino, and my co-host, Marisa Tully.
Here we celebrate the unfiltered phases of motherhood.
On this podcast, no topics are too taboo, from menstrual cycle to menopause, weight loss, hormones, you name it.
We are here to share real stories, dumb down the science, and motivate you. So if you're ready to embrace a sustainable, healthier, and more balanced life, then welcome to your new community.
Hi, Donna. It is so nice to see you and to reconnect with you again. Donna and I go back to lockdown days where she started doing one of my fitness initiatives during lockdown. We did an Instagram live back then, and now she's joined my Fit Mom community in terms of being an ambassador for us, which we are so excited and grateful about. But Donna, you run a coaching leadership business, am I right?
I do, Ash. Yeah. So lovely to chat again. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to chat. And I think what we're going to speak about today is so relevant to all of the programs that I launch, and hopefully it's going to help a lot of women out there. I know what sparked your interest, or I suppose a quote that resonated with you that I shared fairly recently, which is absolutely one of my favorites, is nothing changes if nothing changes. So I think so often, most people start a new year with these very ambitious New Year's resolutions, but they stick to the same formula that they've tried every single year, but somehow hoping that it would be different. Yet they don't have the courage or the knowledge or the support to try a different path so that they get a different result. And I think it resonates with me so much because that's exactly kind of the path I was tracking on fitness-wise, trying to get to a certain goal, but never really quite getting there until I changed my formula. And the formula was actually not nearly as overwhelming as I thought it would be. It was literally just about improving basic daily habits by 1% every day just to get that different result. And over time, obviously, the consistency paid off. And basically that is just on the principle of habits and habit stacking, which is a huge part of the programs that we launch, a huge part of what you teach your clients.
Yeah.
And help them with. So I suppose the big question is, what is it that makes a habit stick, and how do you go from breaking bad habits and implementing new ones that are actually sustainable?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great place to start, Ash. I think we need to understand, first of all, what a habit is, right? And so a habit is one of our automatic behavioral responses based on a situational cue. So it's something we do automatically, and we can sort of split our habits into constructive habits and destructive habits. Yeah. And our destructive habits, we often actually don't give much thought to. It's only when we realize, like, this is not working for me, or this has got to change, that we then start thinking about, well, this is actually a habit that I do quite often. It's an automatic response to a situational cue.
Yes.
And then we start thinking, well, how do we flip that and now either break this habit to create a new one or try and get rid of it somehow? And the thing is that to break bad habits is actually really difficult.
Yeah.
And so I like to reframe it and rather say, how can we replace a bad habit with something that is going to shift us more intentionally towards our goals?
Yes. And are these bad habits things that we've been doing for years so that they have become automatic, so they've become part of, so there's something from either our childhood or a coping mechanism that we've picked up on years ago, but that is now no longer serving us?
Exactly. So an example would be, so remember, a habit has got a cue, a response, and a reward. So the cue would be, I get into bed. My response to that is to pick up my phone and start scrolling Instagram. And the reward is seeing what people have done on their day, a new video here. And before we know it, an hour later, exactly. And an hour later, we're still scrolling Instagram. And the next morning, we wake up and we're like, I had the best intention to work out and to have a healthy breakfast, but I'm now so tired because I have this bad habit of getting into bed, cue, response, pick up Instagram and get the reward.
Yeah.
So we've got to start being aware of what those cues are so that we can replace them with something that is going to help us flip that habit into something that is healthy.
And the reward factor is the hard part, because it almost, I mean, sort of sounds like an addiction to a point, because it makes you feel good in the moment.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. But they stack up then, and then we think, oh, actually, this is not serving us. This is not serving us. So to go back to your question is, what makes new habits stick? I think a big thing for us is, why are we wanting to change this habit? Why are we wanting to build a new habit? Yeah. Often it's like we jump on the bandwagon because it's a new year.
Yeah.
Or because we want to prove a point to someone, or whatever it is. But often it's not because we have noticed we're in a place that it is no longer serving us. Okay, that should be our main driving factor, is why do I want to change this? And then being aware of what are the triggers, the cues that make me behave in this way. Okay. The other thing is what you said, is that we've got to go small.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I think it's the only way. And I think we have this mindset of all or nothing. And I'm starting on Monday, and I'm going to go 5 days of workout a week, and I'm going to do 10,000 steps a day, and I'm going to hit all my fiber targets, and I'm going to hit all my protein targets. And meanwhile, for the past 20, 30, 40 years, you've been doing something completely different, and it's not a realistic or sustainable way to build new habits.
And it's not understanding or experiencing the power of the habit stacking. So even if it's small, if you're doing it consistently every single day, which is exactly the same with a bad or destructive habit, of how in the moment I'm just scrolling Instagram for 1 hour, but 1 hour every single day before bedtime, how that's going to affect your sleep, how much it's going to rob you of time, how much you're not going to be unmotivated to work out the next day. It's so powerful. But I think human nature is end goal. So I want to lose 20 kilograms and be able to run 20 Ks. So this is what I need to do in order to do it. And as you said, 5 workouts a week, blah, blah, blah. Instead of knowing that you can build it up and get those benefits, but it's small and you need patience.
That's why it's hard. Exactly. And so there's two things you've mentioned there. One is to notice the small progress. So we don't give ourselves credit for those small wins. We have our focus on that end goal, and it's the all or nothing thing. We focus on whether we win or lose, not whether we have worked out 3 times a week this week, and last week we did nothing, and the week before that we did nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we should be giving ourselves a real good pat on the back for making it those 3 times, because that then leads to those rewards, like we feel the benefit, we notice the benefit, and that then makes us want to stick to it more often, which builds the consistency.
And it actually is the only way to do it, is to do it in small steps.
Exactly. And consistency is most of the time over time. Mm. So it's definitely not an all or nothing approach. And the other thing that I think is really important in building new habits, in sticking to habits, is we've got to set ourselves up for success. We have the best intention, but it's not going to happen on its own. So if you had a goal at the start of the year to get fitter, healthier, stronger, and you haven't actively involved yourself in a program or a challenge or a running club or something that is actually going to create an action in you, it's really unlikely that you're going to become consistent in that thing.
Because it's very easy in the first week of January to be motivated, but motivation comes and goes. So you need that sometimes action forces motivation. It's not necessarily the other way around.
100%, exactly. And so small things to set us up for success. So say, for example, I go to bed tonight and I'm thinking tomorrow I'm going to wake up, I'm going to do the Elevate full body workout. This is on my plan. I'm going to do it. But I wake up and I don't set my alarm or I press snooze too many times. Then the kids come and wake me. I've now got to do breakfast. The lunch boxes aren't packed. School bags are not packed. And there goes my workout.
Yeah.
Whereas setting yourself up for success would look like making sure all those things are in place so that when your alarm does go off, your workout clothes are right there. And you get up and you put them on and you stick to it.
Mm.
That's setting yourself up for success. And we don't. We think it's just going to happen and we have the best intentions, but then it falls flat. And what that spiral creates is guilt.
And then when you're in the guilt spiral, you're back to square.
And then we give up. We give up. And we give up because I haven't been consistent. I haven't done anything. I haven't made progress. And so we focus in on that and we give up. So those are just some of the things I think that if we can get those few things right as in a starting point, small progress, set yourself up for success, be realistic about what changes you want to make, that I think will help you get it to a consistent point.
So much is about being realistic. I'm just thinking now about my husband. So for me, it's as you say, my workout clothes are next to my bed, alarm goes off, I get up and I go for it and I make sure that everything is sorted for the kids. Whatever my responsibility is for that morning, it's done so that I can get my workout in so that it's not stressful. But sometimes I'll say to my husband, so do you want to train with me in the morning? And then he'll say, oh, I'll see. And I always know when he says that, it's not going to happen. But when his stuff's out and he's initiating it and he's game, then I know that it will happen. And it is. It's a choice he's making 12 hours before it's even happening.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's those small micro decisions to say, I'm going to set myself up for success.
That's exactly. We're going to do this. And that even just brings me to, I mean, I think the most common New Year's resolution or goal is either weight loss or fitness or health. And I'm thinking, just in terms of even Elevate, we give like five principles. If you've never done any of those before, my advice would be to actually pick two and do those, even if it's just 8,000 steps a day. Or if you were doing 2,000 steps a day, do 4,000 for the first 2 weeks and try, even just try and do it three times. Because as you say, if you look at a calendar and if you actually have to mark off consistency, rather than having 7 days, 10,000 steps, and then the rest of the month, 1,000 steps, of course, it's going to be better to do 4,000 steps 3 days a week for the month.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's human nature not to see it like that, though, because it's that immediate, instant reward. And it's almost like if you're telling yourself, well, I need to lose 20 kilograms, and that's my goal, and that you think in the moment that that's the right way to go about it, but it couldn't be more the opposite.
Exactly, because in the long run, it's that all or nothing mentality that
so gets many us down of us are caught in.
Each time. So the one thing that I found really helpful with this whole thing is building sustainable habits as well is having a baseline. Because your habits are supposed to help you, right? And they're not supposed to cause guilt. They're not supposed to cause anxiety. And if we have a baseline, which is almost like your non-negotiables.
Yeah.
So say, for example, we've got someone who's signed up for the Elevate program. They've never done fitness sort of strength training before. They've never been aware of fiber and nutrition and protein and all those benefits, right? Which is also what's great about your programs is that they're educational. It's not a quick fix. Those people who have signed up like that should say to themselves, what are my non-negotiables that will serve me on my hardest days? So on my hardest day, if I do one workout, or if I do 8,000 steps, what is my absolute baseline?
Yes.
And if we tackle it like that, it's like you said, you're like, maybe choose two or one even, mm-hmm. if it's a major change for you.
Rather
try and build consistency in that one non-negotiable until it becomes part of your routine, because habits stack up to be routines. Mm-hmm. And then becomes your norm.
Yeah. And then you can add to it when you aren't so overwhelmed.
Yes, exactly.
So how do you think habits help us in our everyday life?
So habits are these things that, like I said, they're an automatic response, right? And destructive habits are things we do completely unintentionally, which, you know, it's the scrolling of Instagram. It's often triggered by stress or boredom. And so habits also reduce the amount of energy we use to think consciously about stuff.
Yeah.
Building constructive, healthy habits will use up our brain power and our commitment and our energy, because we have to very intentionally be thinking about, this is the action I now need to take.
Yeah.
And so habits help us in a way that we can look at the routines and disciplines and structures in our lives and say, what is serving me and what is not serving me, and how can I flip this?
Yeah. I always remember when I started my first job. So I used to work corporate literally my first job when I was like 23, 24. And I came home one day and I was so overwhelmed. And I said to my dad, I was in tears, too much to do. There's too much pressure. I can't cope with this. And he just said, which is the oldest thing ever, he's just like, well, how do you eat an elephant? And I was like, what? And I just remember saying, well, how would you eat an elephant? And I was like, you'd eat it bite by bite. That's how you've got to approach the job. That's how you've got to approach your life. You take it step by step, day by day, bite by bite. And I was like, okay. And that always stuck with me. It's such an old, but it is, it's exactly what we are pushing for with our programs, is we're not asking you to look at the end, because also often the end, when you then reach that goal, if you do it slowly, it's not the end at all. It's actually just the beginning, and it's a way of life then.
That's exactly it. It's not signing up for 6 weeks and then it's this magic fix that it's forever. It's a process that is, if you approach it from, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm building new routines and habits and things that are good for me, it's so much easier to stick to it and to notice the progress.
Exactly. And also to realize that there is no such thing as being perfect. So I think you and I were chatting the other day about this perfectionist mindset and about how stressful it can be, especially for high achievers, A-type personalities who are shooting the lights out in their job. They're trying to be a perfect mom. They're trying to do everything perfectly. And then they sign up to a program like ours. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to do my 10,000 steps. I'm going to do everything. But there is no such thing as perfect. You are going to have a bad day. You are going to have a sick child that, unfortunately, then you won't get your workout in. So the sooner you realize that and you're just striving for progress every day over perfection, the more sustainable it's going to be.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that helps us when things don't go according to plan is having that baseline non-negotiable that you can stick to, but also acknowledging that things won't, we've got to also be flexible, and it can't be all or nothing, and being gentle with ourselves. Yeah, I think so much of our frame of reference comes from comparison. You know, and signing up for looking at people's Instagrams and seeing, oh, but she does this and she does that and she does that. We see such a small portion of that person's life. And yet we think we have to be exactly like her, and that because she wakes up at 5 o'clock and does a workout before her kids wake up for breakfast, you know, I must do it that way. There's no copy paste here.
No, so often, and that's, as you say, like Instagram is an absolute sliver of what anyone is going through or what anyone's life is like. And it's 95% of the time, it is just portraying the good as well. So it's ridiculous to think that you're going to compare yourself to someone you've never met. You think you know them, but you actually don't. It's so funny because I often get DMs from people if I put up workout videos saying, so what weight were you lifting? Or, and again, it's like, it's so personal. It's so much to do with what your goals are, how long you've been training for. How, so it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You do you.
Yeah,
my favorite line. I'm not sure if you, Donna's also a mom of three, but I'm not sure if you've got to the fighting stage yet because mine are basically ripping each other's heads off at the moment. All three of them. When the baby was a baby, it was a lot easier because she didn't really have a say. But now she's found her voice. And my favorite line in our house is just stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Yeah. It doesn't matter if he's upstairs and he's doing that, and you're in the bath, but you can hear him and it's irritating you. It doesn't matter. Stay in your lane.
Exactly. So
stay in your lane in terms of your goals and in terms of your comparison. Don't compare. What is comparison? The thief of all joy.
Everything. Exactly. And also this speaks to us comparing ourselves to a season of life that was different, even comparing to ourselves. You know, what served me and what worked for me 4 years ago is so different to what serves me now and what works for me now. And completely. Yet we have this idea that because we woke up at 4:30 a.m. 3 years ago when we were working at home and doing everything because of lockdown, that is a completely different set of circumstances to what serves me now.
Totally.
And so we've got to, it goes back to what you said about being realistic.
Mm. And it's the same as with the scale weight. Just because you weighed X at your wedding, nobody cares. It's not relevant now. Mm. And you might be 100 times stronger and in a completely different phase and actually a lot healthier. So just also drop that. Go forward, not reflect on what happened 10 or 20 years ago. Yeah. But in terms of making these habits stick, and I mean, I love what you said about getting a baseline and making that your non-negotiable. I absolutely love that. And I actually think that's probably how I run my life. I probably have two or three non-negotiables and then the rest has to be a bit fluid because I don't know sometimes how things are going to pan out. I don't know if I will be single parenting that week or whatever it may be, or the kids are on half term or whatever, but there are certain things where I know I don't budge on. But to actually just make that habit stick. And when you're coaching the ladies that you coach, how do you make them, I suppose, turn inwards to find that deeper why? Do you know what I mean?
Ash, I think it often comes back to a thing like check your mindset towards this thing. Mm. Firstly, who are you doing it for? Mm. Have you been realistic about it? Like, have you just latched onto what someone has said or a Instagram post or something that you now think, okay, that I have to do that thing in that way? You know, it comes back to that and really stopping and evaluating, why is it that I want to do this thing? Is it for me? And then going back to, am I setting myself up for success? Am I being realistic? And also being, and I love this, you said this back in 2020, don't let a rainy day ruin a summer.
Yeah. I love that one as well.
And I love it because it is so true. It is one day. And you know what we tend to do as women, and it's often women, it happens to probably everyone, but I feel like as women, we navigate a lot more in our day-to-day lives. A lot of our stuff is reactionary.
Mm.
So we can have the best plan and we can have the best intentions, but often, like you say, you have a sick child and your whole afternoon is now spent at the doctor and you can't do a workout. We've got to also then acknowledge that for what it is and not beat ourselves up about it. We've got to, and it actually comes back to building healthy mind habits.
Yeah.
About reflection and stop that guilt spiral.
Yeah, which is huge.
And it's so huge. And also knowing, you know, not taking that one day and saying, oh no, my week has now fallen apart because of one day.
There's another analogy with that in terms of that I use with my ladies that I coach. It's like if you were driving and you got a flat tire, would you then go around your car and slash every other tire? So cool, you woke up in the morning, you couldn't get your workout in. So does that mean you need to not eat donuts for the rest of the day? No, it doesn't. You can still pick yourself up and keep going from where you're at. But again, that comes straight down to mindset and being able to overcome it without the guilt and move forward.
Exactly.
With the rest of the things you can control.
Exactly. And the biggest thing that that hampers us is because we're trying to create consistency, it means doing it this way most of the time over time. And exactly. So what we do is we say, oh, today was terrible. It's Thursday. So you know what? I'm just going to blow it. I'm going to eat what I want, drink what I want, no workout, no walks, and Monday I'll start again.
Yeah.
And then we've lost like 4 days of progress.
Exactly.
Whereas if we said, today's today, it wasn't great. I acknowledge it for what it is. I didn't set myself up properly. Tomorrow, what I can do better is X, Y, and Z. And tomorrow I wake up and I give it my best shot.
Exactly, exactly. It's like also the James Clear quote of, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. And that comes down to setting up yourself for success. Because that end goal, you're not going to rise to your, I want to lose 20 kgs. It's not going to happen overnight. That's a very much a long-term thing. That will happen over time as a result of how you set yourself up.
Exactly. It's exactly that. And it's the systems. And I think that's also how habits, routines, systems all work together. When we are able to build a consistency in our automatic responses, which are habits, that it becomes part of our routine, things that we do frequently, which then forms part of the way we do things, our systems. And it also goes in the converse way to say our systems also have to serve the development of healthy habits.
Exactly.
So if you are not someone who plans meals, does one grocery shop for the week or two grocery shops for the week, and you just go day by day, chances are tonight, if you've had a hell of a busy day, you're not going to cook a healthy, nourishing meal. You're going to find the curry takeaway down the road.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. It's so simple, yet it's so powerful, and it's so overlooked. And it is almost, well, it is, I think, the key to success, but it's how to get yourself there.
Yeah.
And so many of the destructive habits, as we were saying, are built in a time where maybe health and fitness wasn't important to you, or where you didn't have the capacity to think about that. But now it is something that's become important to you. And then now you've got to get out of these habits first, or as you say, replace them.
Yes. Yes. And also, Ash, I think so often we tend to focus on one specific aspect that we want to change, but we don't realize that it's so closely linked to other areas of our lives that also they need to change at the same time. So we all know, like, you can't outrun a healthy diet or unhealthy diet, you know.
Yeah. You can't outrun your fork, Donna.
No, exactly. and you know, if you're going to be eating like whatever you want, and then you're still trying to do the workouts and stick consistently, and you're saying, I'm doing the workouts and I'm not seeing change, you're going to focus on the I'm not seeing change and not give yourself credit for doing the workouts. But then at the same time, you need to be aware of what is standing in your way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very hard to, especially if you're trying to navigate a big goal on your own. That's why you sometimes do need a coach or a community to force the looking inward, or showing up for yourself, or being honest with yourself, or being real with yourself. Because so often, as you say, like, and that's what I often find with my one-on-one ladies, is that they'll say to me, I've done all the workouts, and I'll say, I'm so proud of you. That's great. And I can see that you are picking up heavier weights or whatever, but I'm still not seeing the change that I want to see. And that's where you can force the analysis when it is one-on-one and just say, but this weekend you had a party on Friday, you had a brunch Saturday, you told me that last week you didn't track one thing. You know what I mean? So then you can really just get real. And that's sometimes hard to get real with yourself. But it's the necessary step you need to make if you are serious about what you want to achieve.
Absolutely.
Oh, I've loved chatting to you. It's been so great. Do you have anything more to add regarding this? Any tips for these ladies who are on day four of Elevate? I mean, you've been through a few of our challenges before.
You're
like me, an OG. I see to Marisa the other day, does OG stand for old girl? She's like, no, it's original. So I said, I'm claiming old girl. I'm the OG.
I love it.
Being an OG like me. Do you have any other or advice to add? Because you are someone who, as a busy working mom running your own show, running your own shit show like me. Any tips to add from your own personal experience that keeps you kind of feeling in control, I suppose?
Yeah. Ash, I think it comes back to that mindset of like, what is it that you, why are you doing it? What is the non-negotiable that I really want to focus on? And also being kind to yourself when things don't work out the way that you had planned.
Morgen is nog een dag.
Morgen is nog een dag. Don't let a rainy day ruin a summer.
Don't slash all your tires if you get a flat tire.
Exactly.
Oh, it's been so nice chatting. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you, Ash. And thank you for creating this amazing community that inspires and motivates and educates us. You know, for all those who have joined up to do Elevate as their first Fit Mom challenge, it's such an educational process. And I think absorb those small things and notice them.
And also don't just take it for the 6 weeks. It's so much bigger. 6 weeks is just the point at which we can keep you engaged for long enough and hopefully start changing some habits or instilling some new healthy ones. But it's really a lifetime. It's a journey. It's not just these 6 weeks. So hopefully it's the beginning of something much greater.
Absolutely. It's that sustainable lifestyle that we're aiming for.
Exactly. And that hard word of like balance. when you find it, let me know. I'll be the first to sign up to your course. Okay, cool, Donna. Thank you.
Thanks, Ash.
Okay, thank you. Soon. Okay, bye.
Bye.